Blog Talk Radio.
Here now, let's see about taking a couple of callers. Caller from the 480, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, how's it going? This is Chris from Detroit, living in Phoenix.
What's on your mind, brother?
I didn't know that I was going to get through so soon. I think I took cuts in front of the ladies. I know you said ladies get first dibs, so
no, I mean, back into the... if they're there, that'll be okay. If you're first served, so if you want to speak, this will give you the longest time to do so.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about, as far as, you know, what's being done on my end to stop the beggar cycle. You know, unfortunately, I come from a family of just worker bees and pass on that mentality. From here, you know, listening to your broadcast, you know, so many times, that has been our biggest, you know, problem, is that at every point when we go to school, we come out, we don't have an industry in which that will hire us. We have to beg for jobs. We don't have our own industry. That's what I'm saying, like something that's black supported, you know, black owned and ran and black fueled. You know, we are the race of beggars. You know, other groups get to isolate themselves with language and culture, and we basically are forced to assimilate, and we're just forced to on our knees, and we readily accept that position. And honestly and sadly, it wasn't until I became aware of you and your message, and through you reading Dr. Claude Anderson, and that I realized that, you know, we're stuck, and it's an endless loop of just begging with your hands out, with your hat in your hand, you know, and it's just terrible. You know, we go to their schools, get their education, and then we have to beg them for work. You know, it's terrible. And I'm, you know, it's heavy, you know. Once you know something, not once you know the right way, you know, it weighs on you when you see all the madness that goes on. And black people are just happy, you know, being fourth-class citizens. You know, all the lynching and the rapes and the torching, all that happened when we were number two in America. We're number three now. And when has anything gotten better for anyone ever that slides down in the brackets? You know, and I have a daughter. She's 8 years old. And right now I'm trying to get her into the thinking of producing her own. You know, when I use the example of Girl Scout cookies, you know, that she sells them so that, you know, she can get a sense of that this is your business. You have to take pride in your presentation when you ask people. You know, you're not working for the Girl Scouts. The Girl Scouts are supplying you with the product that you get to push to your benefit. And the benefit, I think this year they're going to the zoo. It's something silly, but the point is that, you know, it's giving her a goal. And I'm trying to pump into her, you know, you don't want to go to work and work for someone else. You want to establish your own. You know, and you only want to be with people who have that similar mindset, you know. So, and even though it's a little step, that's what I'm trying to do, not to raise a beggar. And by her being a female, you know, the world won't be so kind to her when it comes to her having her hat in her hand, saying, please hire me, you know, over people that are culturally similar to you, people that look like you. Please, sir, give me a job over them. I don't want that to be her fate. Because that's her father's fate.
I want to ask you a question. Okay. Yes, I'm here. And otherwise, you wouldn't still be on the line. I want to ask you a question. Why is that her father's fate?
Well, right now, I'm working in the telecom industry as an installer, integrator, things like that. And because of my, I spent my youth being a fool, not thinking about wealth or what I own, control, and pass. You know, even though I feel like I have a strong skill in an industry that is the future, I'm in no position to establish what I would like. You know, I'm working towards a goal. I would like to have a school that teaches this skill to other black people, male or female, so that at least we can have a foot in the door in some type of industry that's going forward. It said right now, the only thing we want to control is, well, not even want to control, the only thing that we contribute to is everyone else's success. And because of my missteps and my foolishness and, you know, lack of any type of serious guidance, being taught, get a job, get a job, get a job, it wasn't until now at 33 that I see that that was a fool's errand.
Well, yes, that is true. I mean, but you still have an obligation to join the effort. Just because you've messed up in the beginning does not alleviate you or exempt you from your obligation to do what you can do now. You work in telecommunications in particular now. Am I to assume, are you an outside tech?
Yeah. Yep, I work directly.
You actually work on network itself, then.
Right. What I do is I integrate the systems like cell phone. Well, AT&T has maintenance windows in which they'll take a tower down for, you know, upgrades and integration.
I used to work for them.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I'm very well aware of procedure at AT&T. But here's the thing, okay? You have an opportunity to learn where you are now. Too often as black people, and particularly as black men, we don't do what's necessary to put ourselves in position for where we're going tomorrow, because we don't actually see ourselves as going anywhere. You do understand that AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint only own a handful of the towers out there. You do understand that, don't you? Now, you said towers.
Yeah, no, I'm well aware of that.
I'm assuming that you work for wireless because you said towers, or I'm sorry, as we used to call it, mobility, because you said you work on towers. So I'm assuming you work in mobility?
Right.
Okay. Now, with that being the case, you're aware that mobility only owns some of the towers that are out there. In some areas they own more than others, but I'm talking about as far as the nationwide footprint, you are aware of that already.
Well, I was under the understanding that AT&T, for lack of a better phrase, won the race. So whatever is out there, they have a almost stranglehold on the industry. The government has had to intervene to break them up, to break up that monopoly. But
well, no, and as far as wireless, there's never been a monopoly in wireless. The monopoly was for landline services back in the 80s. But no, as far as wireless is concerned today, as far as the cell phone towers, the big guys, AT&T and Verizon and Sprint, only actually own a fraction of the towers that are out there around the country. You actually have a amalgam of other companies that have put up these cell phone towers themselves and leave space to companies like AT&T and Verizon and whatnot. That's why certain things as far as roaming are not going to change. They're not going to change because the tower sites that are available, whether they be the low-lying camouflage-looking ones or the large ones, that
right.
space already taken in most of these markets. So with that being the case, what I'm saying is you're learning how to work on the towers. You learn network integration. What is to prevent you from setting up 5 towers of your own?
You mean erecting 5 towers?
Yes. Okay, let's discuss that, because it would be different if I did not know this industry, but I do. So let's just discuss that. How much does it cost to erect a cellular site?
I'm not aware, Jason.
Okay. That's the first problem, because you said my problem is capital, but you don't actually know how much it will cost. What I'm saying is that you have psyched yourself out and said it's easier for me to say that I can't do this, even though you haven't actually figured out what it is. Because if it costs $10,000 to set up a cell site, and you're sitting up here saying, "Oh no, I can't do it because of the money," and you don't actually know what it is. Now, I said $10,000, even though we both know it's more than that. However, did you? And this is for everybody who's out there listening. Question for a reason. I asked you the question of how much does it cost to set up a cellular site. Did you notice what I didn't say? I did not say how much does it cost to erect a cell tower.
Okay.
You notice I didn't say that.
Okay. Yeah, and to be honest, Jason, I didn't even think in that realm. My thought was going to teaching the skill to others, establishing a. But I see where you're going, and I'm interested.
Well, here's the thing: I'm teaching the skill to others. Black people have everything, as Dr. Claude Anderson said, upside down backwards. What good is teaching the skill to people if you cannot tell them how to monetize it? What good is it? All you're really doing is teaching them to be employees for someone else. So if you all don't know the biggest way to make sure that somebody does not stay satisfied as an employee is to teach them how much it costs to overthrow your employer. The biggest trade secrets that they have at these companies are not really the patents. Patents are public knowledge. The biggest secret at these companies is how much money they spend. Now, you as an employee of AT&T, you know that we all had to do the same thing when we got hired. They made us all agree that we were not going to tell our coworkers how much money we made.
Right. Hey, that's true.
I'm going to say now, okay, what I'm saying is I'm telling myself, how would I know that if I did not work for the company? I know because they made you sign it just like they made me do it.
Oh, that's true.
They made us all. Brother, I can go into all the lingo if you want me to, from LTE to LSAT to MSOC. We can go into the whole nine yards if you really just want me to, but I've got no reason. Hey, it's the other fellows out there who lie to people and get exposed. I can back up everything I say. So what I'm saying is that I can go into all the alphabet soup if you really just want me to. But from Randall Stevenson to Ralph De La Vega to McKiffin to the whole nine yards. And I could tell some stories about them, too. But the problem is that why is it that of everything they made sure of when we went there, the first thing that they made sure of is when they hired you, they said, by the way, they made sure you understood that you can't discuss your pay grade with anybody. Such a priority. You can't discuss your pay grade with anyone. Nobody, nowhere. You can't discuss it. They made sure you knew that when you came in the door as a condition of employment. You can't talk about how much money you make. So what did they do from the beginning? From the beginning, you got inculcated and indoctrinated to a culture that says we do not discuss the money. We never, never, ever talk about the money. And that's what you did your whole time there. If you're still working for them now, you're still doing it today. You talk to your coworkers about everything. You talk to them about their sex habits. You all do not talk about your money. You all never sit down and compare notes. And no wonder you all can't overthrow the company and stop them, because you all won't even talk to each other about the single most important issue, the money. No wonder you all can't get together and compare notes. If you want to know how it was that Kevin Nash and Scott Hall were able to basically revolutionize the wrestling business 13 years ago, I'm sorry, it's 20 years ago now. I'm sorry, 13 years ago, rather. They left in the 98, so, okay. About 15 years ago, how they were able to do that, it was because when they left the WWE, the reason why they left was because they started asking each other, how much are you getting paid? Scott Hall and Shawn Michaels were comparing notes about how much are you getting paid. And then they started comparing notes with Bret Hart. How much are you getting paid? And what they found out was that Kevin Nash was getting $150,000 to $300,000. Scott Hall, a.k.a. Razor Ramon, was getting $300,000 to $400,000. Shawn Michaels was getting $750,000. But Bret Hart was getting $1.5 million a year.
To act? He was getting $1.5 million a year to play fight?
And to be and told, well, he's gotten both of his knees, endless list of injuries, but yes, when Bret Hart left the WWE to go to WCW, he was getting $1.5 million a year. When he got WCW, he left there because Eric Bischoff offered him $2.5 million a year. Eventually may have maxed out at $3 million when they got done. Now, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash had contracts that said that they were supposed to their pay grade matched whoever was the highest paid person at WCW. So whenever Hulk Hogan or Bret Hart got a raise, guess what? Kevin Nash and Scott Hall got one too because they were the first in line and they had it written in their contracts first. So when Bret Hart got his $2 million, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash bumped up with him. They had matching contracts. I say all that to say they never would have been able to do that if they had kept doing what Vince McMahon told them, because Vince said you couldn't compare notes either. Well, guess what? They finally said, forget you, we're comparing notes. You pay. I mean, there's a clip on YouTube, you can go look it up for yourself, where Kevin Nash talks about that. They did a house show, and that Shawn Michaels gotten $70,000, and Kevin Nash was like, yeah, he said, this is how much I got. You got how much? You got how much? And he immediately got on the phone to Jim Ross at Vince McMahon and said, what is this? You gave me $30,000 and gave Shawn damn near twice that. Those are about what the figures were. And they put a check in the mail to Kevin for the $30,000. That's about the figures that it was. It was around about that figure. But my point is they never would have known that if they hadn't compared notes. They were contractors, and they were basically self-employed, but they didn't know how bad they were getting messed over until they actually started talking about money. You've gotten on the phone and talked about everything. You talked about empowerment, but you haven't yet discussed what the money is. How are you supposed to do any of these things if you don't actually know? Because understand something. The three richest guys at AT&T, they are all intimately familiar with the numbers. They know exactly how much it costs to run the company and exactly how much the company is spent. How are you ever going to challenge them if you don't know that? You have a highly useful skill. You have knowledge of network. Most people don't have that. You could capitalize off it if you took a few minutes to ask, figure out how much it costs. Now, I'm not going to get you in trouble here, but there's a few things that you need to find out about. Now, you said that you actually... Now, do you actually work on towers? Because you said before that you're a field tech. So do you actually work on the towers themselves?
Definitely, yeah.
Be honest, because I'm about to ask you an in-depth question, and if you are not actually a tower tech, you won't be able to answer it. But it should be a question that any tower technician can answer.
Yeah, no question. No, I do the – I integrate the DMB to the macros. I work, you know, with the cabinet, the BSIM. What else? Bisectorization. I do it all. I actually go to the tower, and I actually work in the tower.
Okay, you work in the tower. Now, are you saying that you don't actually go up on the tower itself, but you work?
No. You know, they split those two.
Yeah, that's what I was about
to
say.
They have a ground crew.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was what we were doing there for specifically. Well, I mean, we do have. See, we're getting off in the woods here, and I really don't want a situation where you know, where I confuse my audience because they're all like, okay, what in the hell are these two guys talking about? But we do have situations at certain telecoms where you have cross-training. And while I do understand that the unions want to keep those kind of things separated, I get that, and there's a reason for it. And I'm not going to say it's necessarily unnecessary. I will just say that sometimes it gets in the way. With the full tower sites, for everybody who's wondering here, there's a reason why towers cost different things in different ways, okay? Everybody's familiar with the great big huge towers that have those panels that you all can see on the sides of them. Now, the way that cellular technology works is when a telephone call comes in, and you can correct me here, Chris, if I'm wrong, although I'm not. The way that telephone calls come in is that cell towers, okay, Chris, how many telephone calls can a cellular site handle simultaneously? Just phone calls, not data. How many phone calls can it handle simultaneously?
The exact number of phone calls?
Sure. Okay, give me a ballpark figure. For a full tower site with a full panel array, about how many cell phone calls can it handle simultaneously?
Well, thousands.
Okay.
Thousands of calls.
Now, just out of curiosity, can you explain the principle upon which it can handle that many calls?
Well, it's based off of the T1s and the transport. You got the incoming signal, and you got the outgoing signal, and receiver. And that's how the calls are processed through each tower. You know, you have the remote radio heads, you know, that operate within that system.
Okay.
Hello?
It's hard to explain when you do it in a trivia fashion like I just did, but you'll start to understand what I'm asking here in a moment. If you handle with the towers, you're going to start to explain why I'm asking it like that.
Okay.
Cellular towers can really only handle, it's usually going to be around 10 or 15 simultaneously. However, it is the principle upon which the towers work. Now, as you know, they have the panels up there, and what they do is they work on a system basically of juggling the calls in between panels. So when I tell you how many balls can you hold in your hands, well, I can hold one ball in each hand. If you juggle them, now how many balls can you handle? Technically speaking, it's really only limited by how good of a juggler you are. But you went from being able to only handle two balls to being able to handle a dozen. Theoretically speaking, you could probably juggle a dozen balls simultaneously. So with a multiplication factor of that, that's how we can get a cellular site to handle hundreds, in some rare cases, and thousands figure. That's going to be a little, I'm not saying that's incorrect because it's not incorrect, but that's really straining it. But that would be a lot of backhaul and everything else. But be that as it may, that's the principle in which they work. Now, that's for a full site. But as you know, all the sites are not full sites. In some cases, we've got sites that look like telephone poles. In some cases, they'll be even smaller than that. They'd be built into something else. The purpose of that is because they want to blend in with the surroundings, and they don't want people fighting them over permits and so on and so forth. But my point in saying all that is a smaller site is not going to be able to handle as many calls.
Yeah, they say the small sites or more remote areas.
Exactly.
Things like that.
More remote areas or urban areas where they had trouble getting permits.
Right, and they'll put them inside of a high rise or something like that where they don't actually have to, you know, lease it from the landowner. They can just, you know, lease space in the,
exactly,
in the building. So.
Now, here's the thing, though. Why did I go into all that? Because the cost of setting up one of the restricted sites is a lot cheaper than having to set up a full panel site. If you are a company, a smaller company that doesn't have $130 billion a year of revenue like AT&T does, then maybe you don't have the $10 million that it would cost to set up a full cellular site. Maybe you don't have that, but can you put together a financing to be able to put together a smaller satellite site instead? We don't need a bunch of them. Can you set up 5 of them? Now, maybe you're not going to be able, maybe you will not be able to handle all the services that a full site would. Maybe your signal strength is not going to be as high as a full site would be. But this is the comparison of a company like AT&T versus a company like CenturyLink. I'm not saying Link, CenturyTel. CenturyTel is a company that handles rural areas. The areas that AT&T says there's not enough people out here for us to use that much capital. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that leaves money on the table for a smaller operator who is not trying to pay the CEO $2 million a year. For him to go blow $40 billion on a failed attempt to buy T-Mobile. You know, that's the smart way to spend money nowadays. But my point is, if you haven't even looked into being able to set up a cell site, even at the smallest level, how do you know that you haven't left an opportunity behind? You can't say, I don't have an opportunity, when you never even invested what your opportunities were. You're calling the race over and you never even got started.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe
you're right.
Maybe you can't do a 100-foot tower, okay? Maybe you can't. But why can't we do a 30-foot cell site? Or one of those shell sites, which is closer to the ground. I've never really liked those things, but you get the idea. I've never been a fan of those things being close to the ground because they're, in my mind, that makes them too susceptible to tampering. But,
right.
I mean, because the cats get tampered with all the time, so that's like the D-slams and X-slams and whatnot. Now I'm way off in the woods. But cause he's laughing because he's like, yeah, don't we know? Don't even get us started. Don't even get us started on U-verse. But what I'm saying is that's right. And there's a reason why you're laughing, because we all know what the joke is about U-verse. But like I say, for you as an employee, you can't say anything because of your job. And even I, as a person speaking on the internet, I can't say anything because I don't want AT&T suing me. Because if we both say the truth about U-verse, they would just sue us just to shut up. You know, it would be worth their while to sue the both of us just to keep us quiet. So, be that as may, we can't actually say anything, but we both know what the deal is. Everybody knows what it is, but we can't say anything about that. So let's just stick this to cell phone towers right now. But you could do something like that instead, but you can't do that if you don't even know how much it's going to cost you. You can't do it. So if it costs you $50,000 to set up a cell site and you can lease it to AT&T and Verizon for $2,000 a month, why would you not do that?
Yeah, because you know what? Within a year, you'll be in the black. Yeah, I never even thought about that, Jason. Like I said, what you said earlier, I was thinking on the skill, you know, stronger employee, you know, because it's a huge demand for installers. But yeah, they would be contractors, but they still would be, you know, basically work for hire, and that still would lead people. Still at the lower rung. Yeah,
right now, you know, there's this huge thing where, you know, first you sit up and you lay off a bunch of technicians and retire a bunch of technicians because you think you're going to outsource the technicians the way that you could the call centers. But even those of us who were there understood that wasn't going to work. So what the hell happened? You outsourced it to outsourcers who work on a totally different basis. And now your work has gone to hell. And then that puts you in a position of trying to hire back enough qualified technicians who actually know what the hell they're doing. In other words, you tried to replicate what Comcast did. Well, there's a reason why Comcast and Time Warner are the most hated companies in America by their customers, because you didn't really put a whole lot of work in the quality of service for them. But as you just said, that means there's a lot of guys out there who are either working for subcontractors or whatever, and that gives you that opens up opportunities there. That opens up opportunities. If you take advantage of them. Because I can tell you that during the time even working for Comcast, that really, because that's a franchise business, but that's an amalgam of juggling contractors on a gigantic level, but that's all it is. If we can all just be totally honest with it, anybody who's got Comcast cable TV, I'll be the first one to tell you. Comcast internet service. When was the last time an actual Comcast employee showed up at your house? So you've got options for that. Now, for them, not working out so well. I don't know if they're ever going to reverse course. We will see. But with that being the case, now you need to ask yourself questions. Why is it that they get to have all the fun? Am I psyching myself out before it gets started? I have a valuable skill. I have a knowledge of one of the parts of the American economy that absolutely nobody is betting against wireless services right now. Nobody. AT&T is trying to implement, what is that, the wireless home phone service. So AT&T is not backing away from wireless. They're tripling down. First they went with cell phones. Next they went with data. Now they're going with routing home phone service over the cell phone towers. They're putting all their chips on it. Where's your equity in the game? They're putting all their chips on it. Where's Chris? Why isn't Chris putting anything on it? Oh, you see, I got a kid, and I got a job, and I got bills to pay, and that is exactly why you should be looking into it. That's exactly the reason you should be doing it. I'm just talking into the air here. Do yourself a favor and actually look into the cost of the actual equipment itself. Find out how much it would cost to set up a nominal, the baseline, bottom of the barrel, Tijuana cell phone site. Find out what it would take. Find out what it takes to set up the cheapest cell phone site that you can. Find out what it would be. And then you can go talk to your, because you're out there in Phoenix, that's a lot of desert area. Why is it that you can't set up a site that's in between the rural area and the city area? You don't have to go out in the woods. Set up one that's in between. Maybe it can't even do data. Maybe it can't do data. Maybe we ain't there yet. Why is it you don't at least put your chips on the table? Because as you know, we can set up a cell phone site right now, and you can backhaul the LTE in later.
Yeah.
Now, you know that.
Yep.
I mean, we can take care of backhaul services and whatnot later as far as upgrading that. That's what I'm saying. What's the minimum I got to do to get in the game to put my chips on the table? What do I have to do to set up two or three sites? What do I have to do? Now, granted, there may be more to it than that. You might run into a telecommunications issue, but my real point here is you don't know because you haven't even looked. Why don't you find out what it is? And once you find out what it is, now you know what it costs to be a player. And I'm going to go even further with you on that. Do you even have to set it up in America?
That's cold, Jason.
Because Randall is, as you know, Randall, hell, because Ed was hell about capital expenditure. I don't know how long you worked for the company, but Ed was hell. Under FDC, it was hell about capital expenditure. He was as bad as British Petroleum. He was hell about that. So Randall was actually a lot more generous about CapEx than Ed was. Like I said, I don't know how long you worked for the company, but Ed's people skills were better, but his investment skills were not. He was an old head. Randall was a more forward-looking thinker, but for everything forward thinking. You know, there were some things that he poured a bunch of money into. He just lacked the people skills to make sure it worked. And that brings us back to other services of AT&T that shall remain nameless. They're not doing everything they could be to keep customers happy, or employees happy for that matter. But what I'm saying is that Randall, after that T-Mobile debacle, is he even trying to put any more money in the United States? How much money has AT&T spent worldwide? And where is the growth of that? Is that in the States or is that worldwide? For sites, they're not going to spend anything else on sites, and you know that. At least they're going to spend as little as humanly possible. San Francisco is your proof of that. But why is it you have to restrict yourself to America? Why is that? I got people in my chat room who live in Jamaica. People in my chat room from Haiti. The white folk are doing it. Why aren't you getting equity out of the game? Go to one of those places, ain't nothing stopping you. So why not? And believe it or not, they got cell phones in Haiti and Jamaica just like you got in Phoenix. So what you waiting on? And you know, you get there, it ain't even got to be a fancy cell phone site.
Yeah, it could
be.
We're
going to charge them just the same.
Hanging out the ground.
Yep, but we're going to charge them just the same. Yes, sir, we are.
Yeah, you're right. It could be a string in a tin can.
Rethink impossible. Right. Forget rethink possible. Rethink impossible.
Well, Jason, man, I'm going to look that up. I'm going to send you a message on Facebook, you know, let you know, like, hey, this is what I found. And, you know, what my thoughts are and how I, you know, what realms I could, you know, deal with. And this is really, I've written all this down. You know, this has really inspired me because I was looking through a very tunnel vision lens, and it's much bigger than that, and I should have known better.
Question.
I didn't even think.
Do you have a passport?
Sure don't.
And most black men don't. And that is the reason why you don't even think about leaving the country, because you haven't even prepared yourself to do so. No wonder you're not thinking outside of the five blocks you were raised in. You're not thinking outside of them because nobody else prepared you for it, and you haven't prepared yourself. So do yourself a favor. White men, the first thing they did when they got a boat that could move, they went around the world with it. Let's go see what's out there and find out who knows what we know. And they found a bunch of places that didn't have boats, and they said, well, guess what? We have superior technology. It's just a boat, but it's better than y'all got. And it's gone from there. So why don't you, next time you get your 3 weeks vacation or whatever, why don't you go and spend a little time and just go on a sightseeing tour and just go see what's out there and cell phone that has international service so that you can go and see what the cell phone service is like in Haiti or Jamaica or go to Africa. It doesn't matter. Go see what the cell phone service is like. And if they ask you why you come to Africa, you tell them business trip. And you just go watch and see what your bars do when you get there. And now you can see who is being underserved. In other words, that's somebody who needs a cell phone tower. And guess what? I know how to set one up. I know how to set it up. I know how to maintain it. And I know how to maintain it. And I know how to hire people who know how to do what I do. As you said before, my job is teaching other people. If you know how to teach other people, then that means you can make sure nobody's out there screwing it up either. So you know how to hire people who know what they're doing. $100,000 line of credit might be all you need. It's something to look into. What I'm saying is that I don't know how much you'll need per se. I have a pretty good idea with some, but I'm not going to start throwing those numbers around just yet because it'll really depend on where you are, and I don't want to discourage you before you get started. You need to find out how to construct a cell site first because you already know how to work on it. Find out how to construct a bare-bones site, see how much that costs you, and then see how many you can set up. and take it from there. If I had ever worked for mobility, that's what I would have been doing. And for the guys in U-verse, I'd have been the IPTV. I'd have been all over it. I'm saying too much again, but the fiber, I'd have been all over that. I'd have known where every route of dark fiber was in that network. Because guess what? Google does. And if you think I'm lying, go look up Google Fiber, although I'm pretty sure you already know. Google knows exactly how much dark fiber AT&T has. Why don't you know it? And this, brothers and sisters, for anybody who wants to know, in case you ask in the future, is why they call me the authority. I'll let you have the last word, brother. You got a lot of work ahead of you.
I definitely do. I just want to thank you for this, you know, this enlightenment. There can be no question in why you're called the authority. And I'm not one to, you know, applaud unnecessarily, but, man, you're dope. And I really appreciate it, man. Last word is Black First.
Black First, brother. Thank you very much for checking in with us here. There's a lot of people out there who try to bull jive their way through conversations. This is why they get exposed. This is why people lose faith in them. This is why after 5 years they could be doing what I'm doing. I don't tell you all what I'm getting at. I tell you what I've lived. All I can say is benefit from my experiences. If there's something I know about, I will tell you. If there's something that I don't, I'll point you in the right direction. I just want you to think properly about it. In his case, it was not a matter of purpose. He just needed to know what his skill set was. But you never know what your skill set is if you're telling yourself, don't get started. These are the kinds of conversations that you will hear nowhere else. While other people want to talk about detritus and relationships and sex and want you to giggle and be entertained, this is not the place that does that. This is where adults come to sit down and speak. You get money and the power and the wealth, and you can have any type of relationship, alternative lifestyle, whatever you want. Why don't we sit down and do what adults do and have a discussion about that? Caller from the 813, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hi, this is Shantae. I'm calling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, Shantae. How do you spell that?
Oh, my. It's S-H-O-N-T-A. It's
all right,
spelled Shanta.
And that's why I asked you how do you spell it. I know who you are, sunglasses, and I left a comment tagging you yesterday, so I know exactly who you are and what's on your
yes.
mind, sister. And that is why they call me the authority. Go ahead.
I wanted to answer your question. You, your original question was what women are doing. I guess are you asking instilling values in their sons and daughters?
Well, let's start there. Are you teaching your son? Well, it depends. Do you have any children, first of all?
Yes, I have a son. My amazing scarlet letter. So cute.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that later. But the real question is, you know, what are you doing as far as teaching him? Because if you're not teaching your son the ways and the means of power, then you are negligent as a parent.
Okay. Well, my son, he's 4 years old, and my thing is because he's a black boy, I already have this notion that, okay, you're a black boy going to be a black man. You already have two strikes against you. And so I'm trying to instill the values of education and learning because I'm trying to raise a higher standard for education because, you know, how a lot of black men are extremely undereducated, and it just makes me
no,
cold.
I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Why don't you explain it to me?
I don't know. I'm going to relate to my personal experience because in my family, we don't put a high value on education. And, of course, there's a lot of females but not enough males. And with the males, they have not graduated from high school. So from my family experience, it's like, okay, my cousins, they could barely read at a ninth grade level. So that's how I feel. I don't want my son to be that one child that stumbles over so many, the simplest words, like the and at. I want him to be extremely literate.
Okay, well, I'm not so sure I consider that to be educated. I consider that to be literate. Not sure if I consider that to be educated per se. I would be much more concerned with having children that are intelligent, because intelligence and education are two separate things. But here's my thing about that. Teaching your son to want to be a king and not a beggar has nothing to do with school. It has to do with the value set that his mother is teaching him. Are you teaching your son that he's not supposed to be a citizen of his city, he's supposed to be running it?
I am teaching him how to be a leader. Like I said, he's 4 years old, so he can't, you know, he can't grasp a lot.
Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Absolutely not. Listen to me very, very carefully.
Okay.
If he is old enough to say the word king, he is old enough to know what it means. You are undermining your son and handicapping him and crippling him by coddling him. Well, he's too young to understand that, okay? And that's why when you get old, he ain't going to be able to do a damn thing to help you, because you started very early in life. Instead of instilling that's supposed to be something that he can remember from the time he could walk. You take a look at everybody. There's a book, I think it's called 10,000 Hours.
10,000 Hours?
Yes, but there's a book that's about 10,000 hours. It says that everybody, this guy did a comprehensive study, a men's study of studying all the people in the world who were the best at what they did. And what he found was that the people who were best at what they did were the people who had at least 10,000 hours of practice and study at what they did. Now, that does not rule out individuals who are savants, and that does not rule out prodigies. But the reason that we call people savants and prodigies is because they're not common. They're the exception. Everybody else has got to work really hard to get something. So what he determined was 10,000 hours. What does that basically mean? That basically means we have to start them from the age of 5 or 6.
Okay.
In order for them to be prepared by the time they get grown. So the reason that you look at Venus and Serena Williams, that is the result of 10,000 hours. You take a look at Mary Lou Retton, that is the result of 10,000 hours. Michael Jordan, that is the result of 10,000 hours. You get the idea.
I get the idea now. Me personally, like, I'm not going to discredit myself and my parenting, my capability of being a great mom. Now, it's hard for me to say that I'm going to teach my son how to be a king and instill king values, where it's like, I know that I could teach my daughter how to be a queen, but how can you teach a man or a little boy to be a king? Other than, yes, you are a strong black man, you are a leader, I put so much focus on education, because I want my son to have his master's degree by the time he leaves home. That's why I'm trying to instill educational value versus anything else. But how can I correlate educational value? I guess it is leadership and educational value. So how can I correlate that into saying, now you are a king, without having the same part, you know?
Okay. The first thing that you have to do, and this is for all your children, not just your sons, but your sons in particular, because they are the first line of defense against outsiders. Your son needs to understand, first and foremost, that it is not his place or his position to be bowing to other people.
Okay.
We teach, that does not mean that he is an impolite brat. That's not what it means. What it means that you instill in him the idea of his own self-worth. Self-worth does not mean that your son said, I'm worth something. If you have to say I'm worth something, you ain't worth very much. What it means is that you teach him that he has a purpose and that nobody has a right to supersede that purpose for being. As I've said, everything in your life begins with purpose. That he has a God-given right to pursue that purpose. And that nobody has the right to get in the way of it. Because for the rest of his life, other people are going to be trying to get him to bow down and back down to supersede his purpose with whatever they want him to do.
Yes.
That does not mean that you don't serve your fellow man, that you don't work together with people. That's not what that means. What that means is that I am not going to allow what you want to become more important than why I'm here. Notice I didn't say what I want. why I'm here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to allow that to get in the way of why I'm here.
Okay.
He's going to get messed over by a lot of women and a lot of talking hucksters and a lot of scheming connivers who can convince him to put his purpose to the side for their purpose.
Okay.
That's the first thing. And it does not take a man to teach him that.
As
a matter of fact, you are supposed to be the prime person teaching him that. So that when he does find a woman one day, he doesn't have it in his mind that women expect me to put my purpose to the side for them. Because the first woman of importance in his life, the most important woman, taught him that a woman does not tell you put your purpose to the side. A woman helps you to execute your purpose.
Okay.
And that's how you don't end up with a son bringing home some screaming banshee yelling at you at your house. Because it's got nothing to do with teaching your son. You don't make no mess. It's got everything to do with teaching your son what he is, not what he isn't.
Okay.
And that she may be a nice person, because nobody is, and that's the first thing, let me rephrase what I just said there. No female is going to come up yelling and screaming and shrieking. That's not what's going to happen. She's going to be like Kim Kardashian. Now, you can prepare your son for, you know, Sanford and Son, who is Aunt Esther. Everybody knows how to prepare their son to deal with Aunt Esther. Everybody knows how to do that.
Yeah.
Everybody. Can you teach your son how to deal with Beyonce or Kim Kardashian? Do you know how to teach him to look out for that, how to avoid it and deal with it? How do you describe that to him, that she is getting you to put your purpose to the side for her? How do you do that? That's why I'm saying that you need to know what you're looking for, because she's not going to come through the door yelling and screaming at him. He's not going to do that. Hell, everybody knows not except that, and that's not what it's going to look like. So it is, that is why you are in prime position, because it will not be too many men who are going to be able to lead him astray. It's going to be some cute female with great big huge breasts who's going to lead him off the beaten path. So what you need to determine for him is to let him know this is your purpose. Your purpose is not to get draws. Purpose is not to be popular. Your purpose is not to make everybody damn smile at you. Your purpose is not to be entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Your purpose is to be the smartest person in the room, the most concerned person in the room about your people, and the most principled person. That these are things that you are willing to live and sacrifice and die for.
Okay.
Teach your son what he's here to die for. That's one of the main things I would give you. Because women won't try to preserve their lives. And if I can be honest, Shante, that is the reason that my side of the gender species has dominated yours for the last 160,000 years.
Okay.
Can we just be honest? My side of the gender species has dominated yours for over 100,000 years because we can tell you what we're willing to die for. Including if it means our hands around the enemy's throat. We can tell you what we're willing to die for. We are willing to die so that somebody else can live. That does not hit women's psyche the way it does men.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't naturally occur to a woman the way it does to a man. That is why you have never in human history seen an army like Shaka Zulu's or 300 that marched off into a situation knowing that they weren't coming back.
Yes.
That is
anathema. I understand.
That's anathema to a woman's nature, because a woman's nature is to nurture. Well, how can I nurture if I'm dead? The first thing that you all think. A man's primary goal is to protect legacy, even at the cost of his life. That his life is not the most important thing. Make sure he's ensured the safety and legacy of his people is. And that's why that happens.
My problem is, I know this is my downfall, because I completely agree and I am taking heed to your advice on how to make my son into a king. But when you bring up the word nurturing, and it's like, trust me, I love my son, and when he sleeps, I kiss him and I hug on him. I can't do it while he's awake, I only do it while he's sleeping. I know I have problems with that. It's the cuddling. I try, but it's hard. And I know it's like it's not good for him to cuddle, to be coddled, but it's hard for me to not do it.
Well, you're going to have to stop doing that because people are not going to coddle him in his life. And a mother who is trying to compensate for her own lack of external affection instead starts projecting that onto her male children.
Oh, no, that's not the case.
Because it is not you who is coddling him. It is him who is coddling you. Should I say he who is coddling you? If we were to be totally honest about it. It is not you who's giving him affection. You're doing that because of what you get in return. And what I'm saying is that you understand what the problem is there. You are intercepting something. Now,
complex.
Well, you know what? I'm not even going to go that far with it just yet. In your case, I'm not going to go that far because the problem is that a woman should not be, especially a woman who's in your age bracket, just like males at a certain point can be loose cannons as far as their aggressiveness is concerned, women can be loose cannons as far as affection and nurturing are concerned, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they can start spraying it in places it doesn't belong or in places where you're overdoing it. This is why young men should go and play football and whatnot. And that way they get that cockiness and that stupidity and that immaturity out of the way early.
Yes.
And for females, that has a place also. This is why we can't have children with people that I'm married to, because we need to have a bond with that man to make sure that we're not overdoing it with our sons. Your son is supposed to get knocked around and scraped up and beat up. He is supposed to, because this is how he learns to deal with the world around him, not by avoiding difficulties, but by facing them. And this is why we got so many sissified homo thugs out here now whose mamas coddled them and patted their hands and nurtured them to death and sent them out into the world to get their asses kicked. Grown-ass men who claim that they're the hardest thug in the hood and can't even change their own tire on their car.
It starts
with a mother who talks about how much she coddles her son.
I know, and that's, I am engaged. Like, there is a man role model, and I believe in, I guess, in a sense, traditional values. I am engaged, and he has a strong male role model. And it's just, I don't want to say I'm going to put all the man, okay, you're the man, so help me raise my son to be a man, because I know that I can't.
I hear problems here, but go ahead.
Excuse me?
I said, I hear problems here, but go ahead.
I know, but what can I say? It's like, I have confidence in myself to be a good parent, but as the man part, which I say, you know, he's a boy, and like you said, I can't teach him to be a king. I understand how to teach my son to be a king. But I'm still the mommy, and I'm still the nurturer, and it's like, I'm lacking. Trust me, I am lacking in that part. That's why I need a male to come in and help to tuck him around and, I guess, kick him, like, not kick him down, but, like, you know, tough him up. And I have to stop myself from trying to kiss his boo-boo.
Now, let me tell you something here, though, in all seriousness. I know people hate it when I do this, but this is discipline time, because you need to know what your competitors are doing. Are the Asian mothers doing that? I had a black female who was a single mother. She wanted me to spend time with her, and I had to let her know that, well, there's a couple of problems that express why I don't fool with single mothers.
Yes.
Now, you got three children. She had three children.
Mm-hmm.
And not far as I could see, none of them were involved in any extracurricular activities at all. This was a woman who had a number of different talents, but she was not demanding that those children do anything. And I told her, I said, now, if you were a Vietnamese mother or a Korean mother, you would already have a business and all those children would already be working for you. From the time they can walk, From the time they can walk, they'd be doing it. Black women do not do that because they don't want the children doing that because they want the children available to coddle them. And
but
that's why,
black
women have the reputation that they have today, because black women are willing to sacrifice their children's well-being so that they can have what they want. And that's why the children grow up not giving a damn about their parents, because you didn't give a damn about them growing up. So in your case, I've got a couple different questions here. How long have you known Mr. Magic?
I've known him for a combined of a combination of 4 years.
Okay. But your son is 4 years old.
He's 4 years old. Let me tell you the great story. Yay.
Well, give us the Reader Digest version.
The Reader Digest. I was in a relationship with this other man, be nice to me. He was married and I didn't know. So when I found out I was pregnant, that's when he told me he was married. And so, like I said, young and dumb, okay, well, you're going to divorce your wife. All right, I'm going to wait for you. Wait for a year. Okay, I got smart. And by that time, I met my fiance. We were friends. My son was one. And we were friends. And then, I guess, you know, friendship grow, and it grew, and then we end up being in a relationship for 2 years, and now we are currently engaged. We're going on 3 years. We're engaged. So, to be all in fairness, he knows his biological father, but he also knows my fiance as his dad.
Okay.
So
our son is the son of a married man.
Yes.
That's the first issue there. That's going to be a tremendous problem, by the way.
Yes, it is. Currently a problem.
I don't see anything to giggle about. And that kind of reaction, I understand nervous laughter, but let me tell you, this ain't no laughing matter. Because did you know both of your parents?
Yes.
Was your father married to somebody when your mom got pregnant?
I don't think so, but they were not in a relationship.
Okay, but my point is you have put your son in a position that nobody put you in.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, how old were you when you got pregnant?
I was 21.
Okay, you were not a child.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we having unprotected sex, people? Be honest.
Because I was in a relationship with him, and I thought
that... Okay, you're in a relationship with your mailman, too, but we're not letting him have unprotected sex. You have a relationship with your banker. They put up TV commercials telling you all the time, we're not having unprotected sex with them. Unprotected sex has nothing to do with being in a relationship. Marriage has something to do with being in a relationship. So it has something to do with unprotected sex. That means you've gotten a commitment from this person. Why are we having unprotected sex with people that we have no commitment from?
Because, like I said, I was in a relationship, but I'm not going to blame my upbringing on the fact that of what happened, because
there's a reason I'm asking this. There's an important reason I'm asking. The reason that I'm asking is because at this point now, you're what, 25 years old?
No, I'm 27.
Okay, maybe I just missed a date in there somewhere. You said your son is 4 years old.
He's going on 5 this summer. Yes,
You got pregnant at 21.
Yes, I got pregnant at 21. I had him when I was 22.
Okay.
And he's going on 5 this year, so that'll be 5 years. And I'm 27.
27 right now?
Yes.
There's some odd math going on here.
Because our birthdays are so close together. So he turned 5 and then I'm going to turn 28. So that's why it's like, well, that's not a year. No, it's because our birthdays are close. But.
Yeah, this math is really screwed up here, okay? You can keep trying to explain that all you want to. If you got pregnant at 21, had him at 22, our math here is not adding up correctly, but be that as it may, you're 27 years old now. The problem mm-hmm. that I have is that being okay with people gushing raw semen in us, that's not something that you just picked up at 22.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is that when people make those kind of mistakes, because let's be honest here, you said because we were in a relationship. Did you notice what you did not say? You did not say because I was trying to get pregnant. Hey, but did you notice I gave you several opportunities and you never said because I was trying to get pregnant?
I understand.
Okay. That type of intellectual and personal dishonesty, it's dangerous for a man to be marrying. Because if she's 27 and it's 5 years later, and she isn't willing to be honest about what she did with the last fella, what makes you think that she's going to be honest with everything she's doing with you, sir?
Oh, okay. I asked that
because is this person really qualified to teach anybody anything? She's not even honest herself about herself. Is she really qualified to teach anybody anything before this man goes off and marries her?
Mm-hmm.
you did not get pregnant by accident. There's only 6 days within a calendar month the woman can get pregnant, and she knows when she's ovulating because your secretions are different. No woman gets pregnant by accident. Every woman gets pregnant because she figured this will make him stay. And he's not really trying to make a commitment the way I want him to, so let me see if this baby will handcuff him. And as soon as you tried to handcuff him, he showed you how quickly he could run.
Oh, no, they always say the same thing. Because that was not the case. Like I said,
okay,
I don't
want
to go.
Did you want to get pregnant?
I wasn't thinking about getting pregnant.
Wow.
I did not want to. I don't trap anyone. I didn't want to trap anyone. To be honest, I'm going to be quite honest.
You wanted to get pregnant.
No.
We don't do that here. The bottom line is you wanted to get pregnant.
This is where
you nod your head up and down as you're hanging your head in shame. This is where you nod your head and say, yes, I did.
I didn't want to get pregnant, but I understand why you're saying I wanted to get pregnant.
Wow, you just said I did not want to get pregnant, and yet your son's going on 5 years old.
Yes, my intentions were not to get pregnant. I should have had the proper birth control,
okay,
and I should have checked out his
pads. Okay, what did you think was going to happen all those times you were letting him gush up in you? What did you think was going to happen?
I did not think.
That you get babies or STDs from grabbing the wrong door handle.
Mm-hmm.
So you thought that you get pregnant or get an STD because you picked up the wrong knife or fork?
No, I'm not going to say, well, I was the most smartest. No, I wasn't. I completely agree with you, and I know the route you're going. Yes, like I said, I was a complete idiot. Yes.
Well, it's not about being a complete idiot. What I'm saying is this is not dumb. You knew when he did that you were going to get pregnant. You knew that. As I said, there's only 6 days in the month that you can get pregnant, and you knew mm-hmm. when your eggs were going to be able to be fertilized. You knew that. You knew it when you were doing it. And you told him, that's right, we ain't going to give you no protection this time, none, because we're going to get this baby started because you seem a little too bouncing around, and then you found out later why he was. What I'm saying mm-hmm. is, how are you going to tell me that you're going to raise this child to be a king, queen, or anything else, and you aren't even honest about the circumstances under which he is here? If you're not going to be honest about the circumstances he's here, it would be crazy for me to think that you've chosen an appropriate man to help deliver to him the idea of purpose. I would be stupid and insane to think that. You can lie mm-hmm. to yourself. I'm not going to lie to me. It's clear from the answers that you're giving that you have a long, long way to go at to even gain honesty. If the man you are with is overlooking and ignoring all these warning signs, assuming you've told him, don't even bother saying I did because you'll say anything. Assuming that he does know those things, he's some kind of stupid to ignore these warning signs. These are tremendous, huge, great big red and blue and yellow flashing lights. Danger. Problem. Danger. Because she is unwilling to admit to basic biology. She's talking to us like we're stupid. She's insulting our intelligence and saying that I got pregnant because I was dumb, instead of saying I got pregnant because I wanted to. And then moving on from there, she's instead still sticking to, I didn't know I could get pregnant. I just wasn't thinking. Isn't it amazing when you cross the street, you're always thinking? And when you're using your sanitary napkins, you're always thinking. But when it came to getting pregnant on those 6 days, you made sure you were having sex unprotected. Oh, but I just wasn't thinking. And what do you know? After I got pregnant, why I asked him, why come we can't become a family now? That's what I was upset about. Yeah, it all goes hand in glove. They always say I wasn't thinking. That's the lie that black women always give. 70% of black women are single because nobody's playing along anymore. Oh, they'll get you pregnant, but then they just leave you there. And what I'm telling you is that you can think you're rope-a-dope with this guy, jawed, limp-wristed, liverwurst, who's not going to do anything for you, or he's going to wise up very soon and leave you.
Can I ask
now,
a question?
I'm trying to be charitable here, because nobody has obviously told you this before. I see huge warning signs here that go beyond just, can I teach my son XYZ? I see huge problems here, gigantic. You're a nice person. You're nice and polite. You're also dishonest.
Can I ask a question, Mr. Jason Black?
Sure.
Okay. Let's just throw it out there. So I am this extremely dishonest person, all that stuff right there. Now, I learned from my mistake. I learned that I was young and dumb at the time because I was not taught I wasn't really taught or educated about being in a relationship with a man and what a man wants from me and all that. Now, I give my mistake. That's why I said, you know what, I messed up. That's my beautiful scarlet letter. I will give him that. I learned from my mistakes. I'm honest with enough of my fiance. Like I said, we know each other. We've been friends first. So he knows the digs and he knows the dirt. He knows everything about me. Now, can I find a man to teach my son or help me with my son? Or am I not, worthy enough to be with a good man?
With this level of dishonesty that you've just demonstrated on this phone, not no, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the judgment necessary to be able to choose a man who would be able to do that. You're sitting here on this phone still sticking to your guns that you didn't know how a woman gets pregnant before you actually turned up with a child. When knowing full mm-hmm. today, well, you were not a virgin when you met this man. You had
no,
sex
I was, I was married and I got a divorce.
Okay.
I was
so
married at 19.
You got married, you got divorced. Bottom line, you mm-hmm. knew you were going to get pregnant and you wanted to get pregnant. Now, if you at 27 are not going to face that reality and just admit to
mm-hmm.
what we all know, if you're still in denial of all this and pretending, I'll just keep saying, no, I didn't know, no, I didn't get it, you lack the temperament and the judgment to be with anybody because you're lying. And if you will lie about something as obvious as how you got pregnant and why you
mm-hmm.
did it, then what makes us think that your pathology is going to change when you get married? You're going to lie about finances. You're going to lie about the school. You're going to lie about cheating on him. Why should we think anything's going to change? You're sitting right here in front of us right now. I didn't think I was going to get pregnant. I just really didn't think about it. But you didn't get pregnant
by first husband.
I just didn't think about it. But I wanted us to be a family after I got pregnant. But wait a minute. If this was as big a shock to you as it was to him, then this shouldn't have been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It was an issue because you weren't surprised. You were not shocked. You were trying to get pregnant. And go ahead and finish the sentence you were about to say just a moment ago.
No, I lost my train of thought. I was listening.
You were going to say that he wasn't surprised. And then you said, because we were trying. We were trying what?
No, I was not saying because we were trying, but I understand what you're saying, but I'm not going to say what you're saying is wrong. But my actions warrant something different than what I was saying.
I'm only describing your actions. I'm only describing what you did. But you're saying that I'm wrong. You're saying that I'm describing everything correctly, but I'm wrong.
My intentions. Like I said, I agree with you. I agree exactly what you're saying.
What were your intentions? If you were able to prevent your first husband from getting you pregnant, how in the hell did you slip up with this stranger?
I have no idea. We were in a relationship. Like I said, we were in a relationship.
Okay, you keep saying that. What you really mean is that, well, we were boyfriend and girlfriend, and that's as good as being married, isn't it? And you found out the hard way, no, it's not. You keep saying that we were in a relationship. What you're trying to say is, well, we were just as good as married when you think about it. That's why you keep saying relationship as if that actually means something when it doesn't mean anything. But you keep saying relationship, and you can never tell us what being in a relationship means. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Because with my first relationship, what happened, my first marriage, because I was married when I was 19. And then I quickly discovered he wasn't a good guy. But, like, I can't tell you that I knew exactly how to date and then what's considered, like, what was true love and what wasn't. I can't tell you that I knew it because I didn't know. And I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, because I was ignorant to the fact of how to really deal with, quote-unquote, these wolves out here. But you were saying I was having
unprotected sex because we were in a relationship. You said that several times now. Please tell me how being, quote, in a relationship, the marriage, because you knew the difference between the two, how is it that being in a, quote, relationship gives you the ability to have unprotected sex round ovulation?
I figured it was pretty much the same thing. We were on the same track because with my first marriage, we really didn't date for that long. We got married. And I'm like, okay, you're not a good guy, so I end up being with him. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to marry this man the same way I married my ex-husband. That's what I was thinking along those lines.
Okay, but you haven't explained why it made it okay for you to have unprotected sex if you were not married. You keep saying, we were in a relationship.
How did that give the green light to
have unprotected sex round ovulation?
Because I thought to myself, you know what, hey, we're going to get married anyway, might as well.
Okay, we might as well what?
Have sex without any protection because I'm going to be with you for the rest of my life.
Okay, as I said, you were trying to get pregnant.
Okay.
You didn't just think that we were going to be having sex. You knew I'm going to be getting pregnant. You knew that. And that was, you said that, well, we're in a relationship, so as I just said, it's as good as marriage, isn't it? We're in a relationship.
Yeah.
So when you're in a relationship with somebody, that means we're going to be together for the rest of our lives, right?
That was my philosophy.
Okay, at what point did he propose to you?
He proposed to me after
Don't even start that. He never proposed to you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even do that. This is what I mean right here. You have a lot of growing up to do at 27. He never proposed. Mm-hmm. He never proposed to you at all. He never did. Not even once. Not he proposed to me when, stop that. He didn't do it. Other people let folk call into their show and just let them go on spinning yarns and stuff and insult their intelligence. Ma'am, please. He never proposed to you.
Mm-hmm.
You already said what you were thinking. I was in a relationship. I felt it was as good as marriage. So, baby comes.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is he wouldn't make a commitment. He wouldn't settle down. He kept promising me a long-term commitment and never delivered on anything. So I felt
mm-hmm.
that a baby would bring us closer and nudge him on over that ledge that he wasn't going over before. Most black women today are pregnant with bastard babies with that pathology. This sickness and this illness, this mental and emotional illness that leads them to say, I can trap somebody into being with me. As opposed to getting him to,
yeah.
as opposed to getting
yeah.
him to say first on his own. Because the bottom
mm-hmm.
line, Shante, is that if a man is with you for 2 years and he's not talking marriage on his own and making concrete plans that you can see where he spent money to get y'all there, he's not trying to marry you. He just doesn't want you
yeah.
to be adverse to giving up them drawers when he wants them. But he's not trying to marry you. And every woman is this thing on. Every woman knows when a man is not serious about staying with her. And then she gets desperate. Now, if you are unwilling to accept that about yourself, how in the hell am I supposed to believe that you are going to teach your son to avoid the type of female that his mother has been? You are going to raise your son to be blind to that because you don't want him to recognize it any more than you want us to recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I meant by these are setting off huge warning flags, because you will deliberately raise your son to be a simp and a fool for another female. Simply so he will not lose his respect for you, you will teach him that them kind of females exist. Sure, tell your son that a woman does not know that she's going to get pregnant, you're doing it. One mistake right there will cripple your son, and you're telling us all, I will teach him that if he asks me, I'll just tell him, I didn't get pregnant. I didn't know it was going to happen like that. I just wasn't thinking. That's what you just
mm-hmm.
told us. You're going to teach him that. Oops, she didn't know she could get pregnant. She didn't know this could happen.
I can't say that, but I'm not going to teach my son that. Because, I sound like a dope. I sound stupid. I was young and dumb. I can't say that, you know what, I didn't learn my lesson. I'm not going to say that. I learned my lesson.
You do not You do not sound like you were young and dumb, Shante. You do not sound like you were young and dumb. You sound like you were
mm-hmm.
young and dishonest. And it sounds
okay.
like not a lot has changed. Because it's 2014, and you are telling us that in 2009, you did not think that about having unprotected sex could get you sick or pregnant. But the one thing you did successfully do was get pregnant, and then after you got pregnant, you hit up and said, okay, about time for us to be settling down, ain't it? And then all of a sudden, you're telling us that he did a 180 once you got pregnant. So obviously,
mm-hmm.
it was as big a shock to him as it was to the rest of the world. The only person who was not surprised is you. You are not surprised. And you don't sound the least bit chaotic about it at all. But then again, they
mm-hmm.
never do. They, because you all want to get pregnant because, as I said before, you've replaced the man that you got pregnant with your son. Now we're going to get a fiancé. The only problem is
mm-hmm.
this fiancé is either incredibly weak or he's in for a rude, or he's being lied to and he's in for a rude awakening. But I don't see how this situation ends well for your fiancé. And it's not going to end very well for your son either. You need to deal with yourself first. You're not going to raise your son to be worth anything. I cannot trust the caliber of man that you are choosing now, because if he believes that fish story you just told me, I'm letting you know, you're full of crap. If he's not saying that to you, he's too stupid to raise your son to be anything other than a fool.
No, don't say that. That's not right. Because he has him there. And
I think what you mean to say is that's not right because he swallowed the fish story. And I like him because he swallowed it. Instead of telling me that
I'm a crab.
There.
Mr. Jason Black, I'm telling you, I'm being 100% honest. I don't know you. You don't use a can of paint, so I have no reason to lie to you. He said he talked to my son's dad. I'm sorry.
Sure, you have plenty of reasons to lie to me.
No, I don't. I have too much integrity for that. I respect you too much as a person for what you do to lie to you.
Okay, but here's the problem. I respect your basic sanitary options more than I do that. I do not believe that you were that stupid with your vagina. And I do not believe that you were that ignorant of being pregnant because you had been with a couple of guys before you met this fella and somehow had avoided it. With this guy, you kept using that same old tired, worn-out euphemism. We were in a relationship, and everybody knows what that means. That means, well, we were as good as married, so we did what was reserved for married people. I did with somebody I wasn't married to because I felt that we were good enough to be married, but his actions made it clear that we weren't. And so I felt that a baby would nudge him over the finish line. Had so many reservations, and I felt getting a baby would finally get him there. Because he wasn't going on his own. And instead of you just coming out and saying, yeah, that's what happened. Because we'd have been done with this a long time ago if you just said, I wanted the guy. I felt like we were playing house. And we're playing house. But he didn't want to become daddy of the house. I felt a baby would nudge him over that finish line. And he told me sometimes that he was okay with that, whatever. And he didn't object to having unprotected sex with me that night. So I figured, hey, better rip, and this will take us where we're going. That's what you would have said, but you didn't say that.
Because that's not my truth.
And that's what I mean right there. But in any case, the fellow that you're trying to get married to, how old is he?
He's 40.
How many children does he have?
He has no children.
He's 40 years old and has no children.
Mm-hmm.
But he's hooking up with a single mother of one.
He's in a relationship he's engaged to a single mother of one, yes.
That means this man don't have anything going for himself. He's 40 years old. He's picked up somebody young enough to be his daughter. That tells me a whole lot right there. Now, understand something, Shantae, I'm not beating up on you. That's not what I do.
No.
I thank you for your candor, at least in the areas that you have been honest about. I do not appreciate where you've been dishonest. But for the parts you have been honest about, that's a good thing there. Let me just ask you in all honesty, you've been with this guy, you said, for what, 2 or 3 years?
Yes.
Okay, because you were saying 4 years, but I suppose you two have been an item for at least the last couple of years. You notice
We've known each other.
You notice he hasn't gotten you pregnant.
No, because, like I said, with my son, I learned my lesson. I got birth control.
Notice that he's 40 years old and hasn't gotten anybody pregnant, ma'am. You ain't waking up yet. Oh, because I'm on birth control. I wouldn't let him get me pregnant. Excuse me, miss. He's 40 years old and has not gotten anybody pregnant. Take it from me. I'm 37. I'm 37 and I have no kids. It wasn't accidental. There were a lot of scandalous, deceptive females like you out there who wanted me to get them pregnant, too, and never happened. It wasn't an accident. Understand something.
Okay.
It is much cheaper to get a divorce than it is to pay child support. Much cheaper to get a divorce.
Now,
in his case, because I know what the situation is for me, as a single black man of 37 years old, this guy's only 3 years older than me. So either he is dusty, rusty, dusty, crusty, or he's got mental and emotional issues.
He does not have any mental emotional issues. Matter of fact, because
okay, how would you know he doesn't have any mental emotional issues? How would you know he doesn't have any mental issues?
I'm
going to
stick up for my man right now. I'm sorry.
How would you know that? How would you know that he does not have any mental or emotional issues? How do you gauge that?
Because we've been friends before we've been in a relationship. Go ahead.
His first name wouldn't happen to start with a J, would it?
Yes. I'm going to stick up for my man now. And
okay.
I understand where you're coming from. And I do agree with you
Don't see anything else. Stop. Good grief. First of all, now that we're both clear on who it is, don't say anything else. Okay?
Okay.
He's a good fella, okay? Don't get me wrong. Now that we both know who it is, I personally believe him to be a rather upright and honorable fellow. I think he's also an upstanding citizen. I just am concerned about a number of the things I've heard.
I understand.
I know that he's listening right now, because I know he listens to me a lot. Since I know he's listening right now, I do not back off anything that I have said. I mean, exactly what I said, exactly the way I've said it. I'm not changing a damn thing. So what I am going to say is that he needs to listen to this conversation really, really good, because he's got a lot going for himself. He has options. And if he willingly walks off into a situation with a woman who is deliberately not being forthright about, if she's not being forthright about something as important as this, what the hell makes you think that you're going to marry her and that ring is going to transform her into Snow White?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think is going to transform her into that? She's not being honest about something that's so blatant here. If she is in denial about this, something that you can't afford for her to be in denial about,
mm-hmm.
Then what makes you think that's going to change just because you married her? It's not going to change. She's just going to be married to you, and then this time she is going to be not right about something that you really wish she was.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be something different for you. It'll be something different than the last guy, but it's not going to make you any better.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to make you feel any better.
I mean, he's listening right now, and he heard everything. And this will be his probably 100th time here in this case over and over again. And I'd even ask him, I'm like, why are you with me? Why are you with a woman with a child? And of course, the man that he is, trust me, he could have any woman he wants.
You know what? He's got options. But my problem is that if you're asking me, then already he sees chinks in the armor. I'm not the rest of these guys. I'm not the guy who lies to people. I'm a fella who's just going to tell you straight up and down what the issues are that I see, and I'm going to call bull crap for bull crap. And I'm also going to tell people that I expect adults to act like adults. You've got a reasonable fella. He's intelligent. He's hardworking. And you've got all the reasons in the world why you'd want to be with him. What I'm going to say is that he would be a fool to marry you.
Mm-hmm.
If you continue maintaining this level of dishonesty, blatant, outright, in our face, thinking we're a fool, dishonesty about something as simple as I wanted to have this baby, if you pull this with him now, Lord knows what kind of lies you're going to be telling in 2 years. And he's going to start seeing that onion peel back layer after layer, but now he's married to layer after layer. As opposed to saying, you know what, why don't we let her sit on the shelf for a little while and let her wait until she decides she wants to grow up? Because let me tell you, I had girlfriends, when I was 27, I had girlfriends who were 45 and 50 doing the same thing you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So just because somebody is over the age of 19 does not mean that they grew up yet.
I understand that, and I completely agree with you.
And in your case, you're just going to keep beating that line. You're just going to keep saying, I didn't want to get pregnant. I didn't plan it. I don't scheme like that. You're going to keep saying that, and if he believes that, even though the biology is very clear, if he believes, hell, you were taught all this in school. You knew what you were about to do, and you did it on purpose. And what I'm saying is that if you are mature enough to just lay it all on the table, I would be different about this. You're not even doing that. You're not just saying, hey, look, it is what it is. Here it is. This is what I did. Yes, I was young and scheming. But now I realize that that's not the way to go, and you're the best thing that ever happened to me, and I'm just going to say, hey, here it is, and I'm going to leave it in your hands. You can accept me or you can reject me, but you are going to walk into this knowing what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
And let him make the decision from there. Instead, you are trying to do what too many black females do. You are trying to trap somebody and take their choices from them. Oh, no. I would never do something like that to you. No, I didn't know I was. No, look, I was just young and stupid. I don't scheme like that. I would never do that to you, ever.
Okay.
And if you're asking me, then I'm thinking he's had enough sense that he started questioning that himself already. Because the math, your math don't add up for that child's age. Your rationales don't add up for that pregnancy. And your goals don't add up now. Now, the person that you've chosen, I consider him to be a fine, upstanding citizen. But it's not him I got questions about anymore. I would have such a larger, more gigantic audience. I was just concerned with entertaining people. I really would. My audience would be huge. If I just concentrated my efforts toward being that entertaining voice on the internet that would say things and just talk to people about bull crap and lie to them, man, I'd have listeners from here to Alpha Centauri. But I'm not that guy, so I guess I'm going to lose a couple listeners today. But I'm not going to lie to you. I can't do that because you can sleep with yourself doing what you're doing. I can't sleep with myself if I sit here and pretend that I don't hear what's on this phone right now. You know what you're doing. And what I'm saying, now I want you to think about one more thing, Shantae. Think about this.
Yeah.
The guy that you're engaged to, he's not an idiot. And he comes from a profession where individuals are taught to survive.
Where we
now, meet. Well, you know what? One of you is much more made a lot more out of it than the other one did.
Mm-hmm.
And one of you came to that a lot more honest and principled person than the other one did. Now, if you want to, you're talking about the child. You need to be thinking about the man right now because you've made yourself into a person that even if you did ring a man with a ring, he's going to get up and leave you. He's just going to get married to you just so you all can get divorced. Why would you put yourself in that position? Isn't it time to just grow up? Let's stop.
I have grown up.
Let's just go ahead. You are about to ruin the last best chance you're ever going to have.
I am not. I'm going to stand firm with what I have to say, Mr. Jason Black. I am not going to ruin nothing. I've learned my lesson. And I'm going to tell you from what that situation that happened, I'm not going to sit here and say, no, I'm not going to continue saying this because I'm going to say you opened that box. Like, you know what, like I understand how it seemed like, yeah, no, chick, you knew what the fuck you were doing. You knew what you were doing. Come on now. And I'm not going to say, no. I said, I understand. I was dumb at the time. I agree with that, and I want to acknowledge that. And I am going to agree with you, Mr. Jason Black. I am going to agree with you. But I have learned my lesson. When I tell you, yes, we come from the same profession, I do have integrity, and I don't need to lie because I do respect you too much. Just even be one of those females that lie at all like that. My intentions are good. And when I call you, I wanted your perspective on how I need to try to raise my son to be a king.
My perspective on it is you need to show your son an honest and honorable and respectable mother.
And I've grown into that.
And stop what you're doing right now, because if you're telling bald-faced whoppers like the one you just did on this phone, you're telling a bunch of others. And you are going to run that man off. Maybe not now, but eventually at some point you are going to run him off. and anybody else. Nobody is going to hurt themselves to stick with that. Nobody.
I understand.
And what I'm saying is, why don't you just sit here and look at it and say, you know what? Yeah, I've crafted a way of saying it that makes me feel better, but, and this isn't the only thing you're doing that to. You're doing those kind of things, and what I'm telling you is that young women who are stubborn and just decide, I'm going to have my way, they tend to be old women who are stubborn and alone, and they don't even mm-hmm. have the man or even the children anymore because they were 27, and when it counted, when it would have made a difference, they decided, well, I can still pull this off a little longer. I can scheme just a little more. And then woke up one day and nobody was there to hear you scheme anymore. So what I will tell you is that I think you found the right individual for that. I'm very glad that he's been able to listen for it. You have found the right individual for that. I don't have any, as far as that for your son, I think you found the right person for that.
The mama just jacked up.
And I don't see I don't see anything funny about that, Shantae. I really don't.
It
sounds
like
you're laughing
because,
at me, but okay.
Well, I'm not laughing because it's funny, but I completely understand where you're coming from. I do agree with you. And I'm not going to fight to the death of you saying that, no, that's not it. No, I do agree with you. I do. And I've seen that, oh, my God, I messed up. I have. And I'm honest, I can't convince you over the phone, like, I've changed, come on, believe me. I can't convince you that I'm over the phone. I understand that. But I met this man, like I said, we were friends. I learned my lesson, and he knows the entire situation left and right. He talked to my son's dad. They sat down and had a man-to-man and everything. And
A couple of questions here. You got pregnant when you were 21 by this married fellow here. Just so I can make sure, because I want to make sure that the dates are lined up for me here.
Yes.
Okay. Our child is 4, getting ready to turn 5, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're 27 now. Okay,
I'm
wait a minute. We got,
now.
We got married to our first husband when we were 19.
19.
How long were we married to him?
I was married to him for a good year.
Okay.
Mhm. I left.
We were married to him for a year, and then we left.
I left, yes.
Okay. How long did you know Mr. Married before you got pregnant?
Only for a few months, the same time I knew my first husband.
Okay, so we were actually cheating on our first husband.
Yes.
Now, I saved that for last.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I saved that question for last.
Yes.
I'm very glad that you're forthright about these things. I'm very glad that you're forthright about them. All the forthright in the world is useless if you are not willing to accept the reality of the ramifications of those things. The reason why I said that is because if a woman is willing to look you in your face and say, I wasn't trying to get pregnant, she will also look you in your face and say, I didn't mean to cheat on you. If she says, I didn't mean to get pregnant, she will also look you dead in your eyes with tears streaming down her face, begging and pleading for your understanding, saying that I didn't mean to cheat on you.
I understand.
Now, what I'm saying is that have you ever seen a woman like that raise a respectable son?
No, I've never met a woman like that. No.
And what I'm
not
going to.
Yeah.
I am trying to call you to something higher.
And
I'm
answering the call.
No, you're not, because you are not even being honest about what we all know yet. You're trying to drip it out in drips and drabs instead of just saying, you know what, let me just lay it out there like it is. Yes, this is what happened. Let me face the full of it. And you know what? either this man is going to accept it or he's not. Give him the right to get up and walk away knowing exactly what occurred. Don't hedge anything. Don't try to insult our intelligence. Don't try to dilute it any. Be full, no chaser. Say it just like it is, and then allow him to
agree with you.
He stays or not.
I agree with you.
That's the most you can do.
Excuse me? No, I agree. What happened? I'm not going to sit here and admit, like, yeah, I tried to. No, those were not my intentions, but it happened, and I'm not saying that it's his fault. No, it's my fault. Because
you can't help but take responsibility for getting pregnant. You can't help but take responsibility for that one. I'm talking about the motives behind it. Because how you treated the last man is how you will treat the next one. And that's what this all comes down to. However mm-hmm. she treated the last man is how she's going to treat the next one. What you are trying to do is convince him that history is not going to repeat itself. And that the past is not the best indicator of the future. That's what you're trying to do right now.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not going to... I agree with you. I mean, I wasn't the same person at 19 that I am 27. I'm not the same person.
So far, I see a couple of key indicators that show you all, some key things that we need to be different, things that will break a marriage and break a relationship are still there.
Mm-hmm.
And we just articulated several of them, and you're saying I'm not the same person. That's the same as saying that my car was in a wreck. Okay, but I replaced the front bumper. Yeah, but what about the hood and the fenders? Oh, yeah, and the motor block that's busted. See, because this car ain't going to go nowhere with a busted motor. So you can replace all these other things. The thing that we need, you haven't fixed yet. But you're trying to convince me that don't worry, that's not so much of a problem. And I'm just going to tell the... I can't say young man because he's older than me. I'm going to tell the gentleman, I hope he listened to this conversation tonight because you are an otherwise very nice female. You're very polite. You're very congenial. And I think most of the men listening to this broadcast tonight, the last time they got cheated on, their girlfriend was very nice and very polite and very congenial. Mm-hmm. Make them feel no better about getting cheated on. And you're 27.
Mr. Jason Black.
Mr. Black is fine.
I'm sorry, Mr. Black. I'm sorry. I'm going to be honest with you. I agree with you. Because now I'm getting upset. I'm getting emotional. I can't say I love this man that I'm with. I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this man. And I agree with you. I'm not going to... I agree with you. And I don't want to cry because you're like, oh, a girl's going to cry when she cheat on you. But I agree with you. I do. I understand what I did. And I want to go back and think about it, it's like, well, I wasn't trying to get pregnant, but I wasn't protecting myself. So of course I was trying to get pregnant. I understand that. But I'm not the same person. It's like I learned my lesson right quick and thin in a hurry. Because of course I could have done several things after I found out I was pregnant, but I didn't do it. And I really loved this guy, and I wanted to be with him. You're right, and I went out and I waited. But I was, like I said, I was dumb at the time, and it didn't take for a year later for me to realize, okay, yeah, he doesn't want to be with me. But I understand, and I'm not going to sit here and lie saying I disagree with you. No, I do agree with you.
I'm going to look out for these fellas. And I'm going to look out for these black men in particular because I've seen enough black men get run over, beat over, screwed over, messed over, done wrong over.
Yeah.
And as a black woman, you got the damn system to help you. You can go sleep with half of Minnesota and get a damn check in Section 8. As black men, we don't get nothing but jail time. Nobody is there to help pick us up when some female, some company, some police officer, when they screw us over, we're just screwed. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody stopping to help us up. Nobody is stopping to assist us and help us put the pieces back together. You all got women's family violence shelters and all kinds of services usually paid for by men. You got people who will help you if your finances get turned upside down. You can get a check. He can't get a damn thing.
Yeah.
Except told to get the hell out of here. That's all he can get. If he screws this up and gets with you and gets on alimony or whatever else, all he can do is watch his money go. Ain't nobody going to be there to help him get back on his feet. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to look out for him. I'm going to look out for him at your chances. And you have a safety net that will help you up. Black men ain't got a damn thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to look out for him. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and tell him to walk off into something that I clearly see is a problem. Now, you have an opportunity to change those things.
Mm-hmm.
As far as how he deals with your son, my answer is you got the right person. But my response to him is, dude, you see what you're getting into. I would never tell somebody what they should do. That's up to them because I've seen you. You're a nice, cute little chick, and she feels a lot better in bed with him. Because, dude, I ain't snuggle up with you. So you need to consider that before you listen to me as well, because she'll snuggle up with you. I'm not going to do it. So just keep that in mind. But what I will tell you is I think he also needs to think about what he's snuggling up with. You got a way to go here, because if it was my son and somebody was teaching him to overlook huge warning signs like that, I'd be worried. And what I'm saying is that in your case, ma'am, the reason why most 70% of black females die single is because they were in their 20s telling themselves, I have time, I have time, I have time. Oh, yeah, they told people, no, I don't believe that. I know this is my best shot. But what they're telling themselves in the back of the head, well, don't worry, if this doesn't work out, tomorrow is another day. And as Apollo Creed said in Rocky, there is no tomorrow. You are going to wake up at 30 and be one of them females on ABC talking about, where's all the good men at? Where are all the good men? Instead of sit down and humbling yourself to the one that you got, you're sitting up here saying, well, this thing, these panties never get old. I got another chance. And if he doesn't accept the story the way I'm giving it to him, if he wants to be suspicious, I'll just move him out until I find the right sucker. And the problem is the right sucker is not going to sacrifice for you and live for you and die for you and support you. He ain't going to do that. A sucker is going to roll out of bed when he has to. He's going to ask you, why come you ain't got a job? The fellas who really got something going for themselves, they got options. And those options are not going to go away if he keeps doing what he's supposed to. In your case, nobody else is going to tell you this. Shante, this is the last train leaving. Your odds of getting another guy like this, if he walks away, I'm telling you right now, you were damn lucky to get him. And your odds of finding another one with a 5-year-old, 6-year-old child in tow at the age of 28, 29, 30, your odds are going to fall off a cliff of finding another candidate who meets all these requirements. Get your act together. Get your mind together. Kiss this man's ass. And give it to him, and give it to him straight in the kind of woman you need to be. Because I believe that you want to do the right thing. I am telling you, though, that the way you are going about this makes it impossible. You can't get there from here.
I understand.
I'll let you have the last word.
You, sir, are amazing. That's my last word, Mr. Black. Black first, and I do appreciate you. You're extremely hard on me. You didn't want to listen to what I had to say because you're like, come on, stop bullcrapping. But I do agree with you, and I'm not going to mess this up. And I am changing. I am making myself a better woman for him, and I do love and adore him. Trust me. And I'm going to call you. You're broadcasting 10 years from now and let you know, hey, I'm a great woman, and I've changed completely. And I will want an anniversary gift, too. So, No.
Well,
but thank
the best,
you.
The best gift that you can give me is a family that is worth something. That's the
and
best.
And I'm
gift.
Not going. I am. He is too. Well, he already there, but I'm going to acquiesce to him.
I certainly hope, as in the words of Pet Shop Boys, I hope it's going to be all right. You certainly okay. take care out there. Thank you for calling in. Please call us again. I'm going to see if I can, I'm going to have to really rip through some calls here because I've only got like another hour and a half, 2 hours of time here. But as I said, if you call in early, I can give you more time. Caller from the 480, you're on live with the Black Panel.
Hey, Jason, this is Chris from Phoenix again. I was the first caller earlier. I have one quick question. Do we defeat ourselves with this premise of having something to die for or something to kill for?
Both.
See, because
Sense of purpose will define those two things for you. It's lack of sense of purpose that leaves you aimless. When you are aimless, you cannot determine what you are willing to live for, kill for, or die for. And those are all three separate things, by the way.
Because I was thinking, if when you say, okay, I'm willing to die for my freedom, I don't think that that is a deterrent to your enemy if he's coming to kill you anyway. Now, if you say I'm willing to kill for my freedom, now he has the decision to make, am I willing to die just to keep my boot on his throat?
You have to be being willing to kill for your freedom is a decision you make for yourself. That is the reason that you will go out and kill the enemy. Being willing to stand up for this principle even cost you your life, what you are saying is that I will see it through all the way to the end. I'm not going to halfway do it. I'm going to see this all the way through to the end, no matter what happens. And that is the resolution that will leave you able to accomplish what your goal is, that absolutely nothing is going to stand in my way and no threat that anybody makes at me, including death, is going to stop me. Now you've become indestructible because death is not a deterrent anymore. So that's where those components come into play. One is a promise that you make to yourself that allows you to keep those other promises to the rest of the world. I am willing to die for this. That is the promise I make to myself. So I can keep the other two promises. I'm willing to live for this, and I'm willing to kill you for this.
So saying that I'm willing to kill for my freedom isn't a declaration I should yell at my enemy, you know.
No, that's a resolve to make within yourself. You go and execute it on your enemy. But that's not something that you resolve to him. I mean, you can send him a telegram if you want to. That's not required. The point isn't do you declare it to your enemy. The point is do you actually believe that yourself? Because if you're just saying it to people, that's worthless. If you really believe it, you don't have to say anything to anybody. That's why you're out there fighting as hard as you are, because you're not scared of death anymore. Now, I hate to cut it short, brother. I really got to move on here to some other calls because I got a board full of calls right now. But I'll be broadcasting tomorrow, so definitely check back in with me because I'd love to hear from you. Let me see if I can get caller from the 585. You're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 585, last try. You're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, 585 has been abducted. Caller from the 917, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello?
Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Demi. I'm calling from the Bronx.
Hello, Demi, calling from the Bronx. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm an avid listener of yours, and I'm actually happy you're talking about the topic that you were discussing earlier about how a lot of parents are teaching their children how to more or less become beggars. And I feel that it starts with the parents not having any type of integrity for themselves, so they don't know how to pass that down onto their children. And I've seen that a lot lately with a lot of kids who don't have any dignity or pride in themselves, and they sell themselves short and you know, they just have a low self-esteem, they don't perform well, and it's pretty sad, and I think it's becoming an epidemic amongst our community.
Well, that was the point that I was making when I was speaking to Shante earlier, which is that your core values are the only thing that you can pass on to your children. That's the only thing that you can teach them. If reading and writing is not a core value, guess what? Your kids aren't going to learn. If motivation is not a core value, guess what? They won't learn. If leveraging their knowledge for gain is not a core value, guess what? They're not going to learn. So, yes,
exactly.
You're correct. You cannot pass down to your children a value that you yourself do not possess. You can't marry into it. You can't buy into it. It's something that you have to be able, that you or somebody has to be able to demonstrate and teach to them, not from a textbook, but through your actions.
Exactly. And to be quite honest with you, that's the reason for why I decided to become a teacher, because it makes me really sad to see that a lot of children, well, especially Black children, they have such a low self-esteem, and if their parents won't do it, I feel like I should. I don't have any children of my own, so it's kind of my way of giving back, because my parents, they taught me how to have self-respect. I've never chased after, like, I guess the other popular kids. I've never been that type. And when I see other kids doing it and then selling themselves short and, you know, they allow themselves to be pawns, I just feel like, okay, I have to intervene here, because it makes you angry, you know. And then I'll speak to some of my friends who I feel aren't doing the best job at teaching their children dignity, and I'll just take the child to the side and, you know, I'll just tell them, like, look, you're better than that. You don't need to do that. Or, you know, I'll just babysit their kid and show them a different experience or something. Because it's very disheartening.
Yeah, I mean, because let's just be honest about it. Most people who have children shouldn't have them. What happened,
you know,
was back
what?
In the 60s, a bunch of people, they were a bunch of spoiled. The baby boom generation are a bunch of middle-class spoiled brats in the white and the Black community. They were a bunch of middle-class spoiled brats who were raised by that World War II generation that had an economic boom coming out of the Great Depression. And they had a middle class because of union jobs and unionization.
Right.
So they had a strong dollar. They lived in the only industrialized, mechanized country on earth that was the world's chief manufacturer. The money was just pouring in at this outrageous rate. And so what they did was say, well, hell, Mom and Dad already got the house. Why the hell do I need to do that? Free love. Make love, not war. Who needs condoms? Mom and Dad weren't doing that, but let's just do it in the road. After all, we're a bunch of spoiled-ass, well-to-do kids. Your mom, your dad. Yeah, I bet she's giggling because she's like, yep, sure were. And they didn't give a damn about that, children. They didn't give a damn about any of that. And this is why you've got all these crack babies out here today, because the generation after them, the baby boom generation, did not raise their children worth a damn. And so those kids wound up becoming the teenage bastard baby maker crack babies of the 80s and 90s. And now we're dealing with the results of those children now.
Well, I just have to disagree on one point. My parents actually were the opposite. My parents got married. They, you know, enjoyed married life for 10 years, then had their first child, wait another 10 years, and then had me. And that was only to space out paying for our college tuition and everything else. So I'm actually the opposite. My parents, you know, they grew up in the projects, and they saw what everybody was doing, and they disagreed with that. So they worked to make sure that they didn't have a family that was like that chaotic environment that they themselves grew up in. So my parents they weren't reckless. I have to give my parents credit for that. The only problem that I do have with my family was when Dinkins was in office, they didn't take advantage of the dollar brownstone thing. That was the only issue that I had when I found out about it. But other than that, you know, my parents did a good job raising my brother and I.
Well, first of all, it's very hard for kids to be objective about their parents. That's the first thing. Because usually we just take the The way we remember childhood is rarely the way it actually happened. That's the first thing. Number two, I didn't say it was your parents. I was just talking about that generation in general. The fact that you're protesting so much means you ought to be very skeptical about your own claim, though. Because I wasn't referring to you in particular, but the fact you're objecting to it so much, even though it wasn't even stated to you, that's your first sign that maybe it's time to start questioning it more. Because here's the thing. The question is not how were they raised. The question was, how did they raise you?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because you said they were in a housing project. Okay, but that wasn't what you were asked.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay,
that has nothing to do with how you were raised. And by the way, the housing projects of the 60s and 70s were totally different than the housing projects of today. You still have white folks in those housing projects. You still had white people in those projects. Contrary to what you saw on Good Times, you still had white folk in those housing projects. They had finished getting out completely by the 70s. So, like I say, even the housing projects were different then. The whole dynamic was different. We call a ghetto today was not the ghetto of yesteryear.
Right, my grandmother,
back
she
then,
told
the,
me.
The gangs back then were more like a damn, like that Michael Jackson Beat It video. You didn't have any gang members who had automatic weapons.
Right.
Okay. You didn't have any gang members in the black society that had automatic weapons. Gunning down a whole house party. You didn't have that. Their idea of a gang fight, if you had a knife, you were considered to be the tough dude in the gang. Their definition of rough is totally different from the one we got today. Totally different. And they know it today. That's why they're scared to death. Because who gave these children this level of viciousness? You did, by leaving them alone to be raised by the children that you left them with. You did it.
Right. But that's all I wanted to really, I just wanted to make that one comment. So I'm just going to go back and listen.
Like I say, just keep the faith. That's a tough gig you got there, but
teaching. In my classes now, I have to observe schools in New York City, and I'm being very honest with you. These kids are very, very reckless, and they're definitely a work in progress. But I'm willing to take on the challenge, so that's how you have to do it.
Well, don't do it at the expense of your well-being or your economy, by the way.
Yeah, well, eventually, I'm taking a class to learn how to write grants and things of that sort. Eventually, I would like to open up a school to cater to our children. So that's the ultimate goal in the long run. But first, I want to get my feet wet and see.
There are not any schools out there now. There's plenty of schools in New York and Detroit that cater to black children. New York, Detroit, and Chicago, they've got one stellar school for boys up in Chicago. I think that's all men at that one right there. But I find it impossible to believe that you don't have a black school already there that's already doing whatever you would want to be doing. Would you go off and put yourself at work and expense when I'm pretty sure there's probably already another school that's already doing it and could use your help?
Well, there actually is, but Bill de Blasio is actually trying to shut that school down. It's called Success Academies. It's a charter school. It's located in Harlem, and actually they have the best scores in the U.S., and it's an all-black school, and he's trying to shut it down. And that was actually one of the first schools that I really wanted to work at. They compensate you very well. You get good benefits, but besides that, the children, they're really, really brilliant. And de Blasio is shutting down.
Why are you not trying to galvanize to keep that school open then? Why not?
Oh, I am. They have petitions and things of that sort. So I participate.
Petitions are nice. Petitions are nice, but what is the reason for wanting to close the school?
From Bill de Blasio's perspective?
Yes. The new white mayor with his black wife. Yes, well, I want to know from his perspective.
Oh, we all know that was a farce. You know, anybody with common sense knew that was a farce, the whole him marrying that woman. But anyway,
Well, he feels that all the money that's going into charter schools should go into public schools, so he's trying to receive more funding because charter schools do receive a nice amount of money. Some charter schools are not doing as great as others, but the fact that he's shutting down schools that are doing remarkably well is just really astonishing to me. I just find this to be absurd. But that's the main reason. He's more concerned about the funding. But what bothers me is that because these children are performing at a higher level than other students in New York, you're going to put them in classes where they're pretty much 30 steps ahead than everyone else. And, you know, they're not learning anything. And
that's the point.
Anything else, what
you want
right.
to take your black children who are achieving and, oh, y'all niggas making it too big too fast. Let me put you in a bad environment now. I'm not going to risk having you competing with my kids going to private schools. Let me take your best and brightest and put them in an environment that chokes their development.
Right. And also,
no,
I would
very
like
conscious
to,
and very deliberate.
And also, I'd like to put out there, a lot of black and Hispanic children are put into special ed programs, and the reason for that is what they use, quote-unquote, emotional instability. And any parent who has a child in special ed classes that are not suffering from a mental illness, and when I say mental illness, I mean autism and things of that sort, but you need to speak with an administrator about that because your child is improperly placed. And that to me is ridiculous also. That's another thing. I just want to put that statistic out there.
No, that special education thing is a trap. I mean, when you've got all these black boys and every time you turn around, every damn school wants to put your child in special ed. Every damn school,
yeah.
If it's a black boy, they always want to put all the black boys in special ed. They're very, very good about trying to run that little scam. And black parents have to be very, very vigilant about that because if you are a black parent with a black child, at some point, especially in elementary school, they try to get them as young as possible because they want that damaging effect on his psyche that if we put you in special ed, that is mentally raping this child and making sure that he
right.
never forgets that experience. So they want to make sure they get you there. They definitely want to make sure they get you in special ed so they can get that mind job going on you. So definitely they want to do that.
And also the reason for why they do that is because 50% of children who are in special ed programs drop out. So that could also be another reason for why.
Right,
they want
but that's
to force
because
these children
it impacts
there.
Their psyche so much. That thing about it impacts their psyche so much, especially a child who did not belong there, and an astounding number of them do. That do not
right.
belong there. An astounding number of them are put in special ed. They're not supposed to be there. And what that does is that damages their psyche because your child who understands what special ed is. Special ed is supposed to be for children who don't even understand what special ed is. That's what special ed is supposed to be, is for kids who got a handicap to the point that they don't even really understand why they're being separated from the other kids. But your
exactly,
child understands what special ed is and knows that they're being separated. That's going to have a damaging psyche effect on them is that, wait a minute, so the kid over there with Down syndrome, I'm like him?
Right.
And even if he gets out of that environment, as Dr. Umar Johnson said, but the impact of that is going to stay with him, that even though we got him out of that environment, he is going to be permanently scarred on that because it's always going to be in the back of his head that, well, they must have known what they were talking about. Somebody stuck me in special ed. That they must
right.
there must have been a justifiable reason. And if you are not a parent that does not teach, if you're a parent who does not teach your child that they are on the front lines of a race war to destroy their minds, bodies, psyche, and soul, then they're never going to get it. And they're going to go through life like that. I'll let you have a last
exactly.
word, sister.
Well, thank you for allowing me to preach a little bit. And also, I just have one request. Is it okay if I tell you the name of my blog to help people who need money make money?
You can send me a message on Facebook.
Okay.
Are you friends with me on Facebook?
I'm being very honest with you. I'm a very private person. I prefer not to have a Facebook.
That means you've been doing a bunch of stuff offline you shouldn't be doing, and you don't want anybody to know who you are. You can save that.
No, you just
don't want people knowing who you are because you done did a bunch of scandalous stuff.
No, that's Jimmy.
Let me tell you about Jimmy. So that's, if I allow one person to start giving out websites, and I have to allow everybody to do that, and I don't have the ability to, I don't want to give out websites because this was on the recording, so it'll be what everybody hears. So in a case like that, I can. You just send me a message if you want to. Or you can send me an email at theblackauthority@yahoo.com. That's theblackauthority@yahoo.com. And you can just send an email there instead.
Okay, I'll do that. No problem. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us, sister. We appreciate having you call. Please call us again. See if we can take caller from the 682. You're live with the Black Channel. Caller from the 682, last try. You're on live with the Black Channel. Okay. That's not good. Caller from 682. I don't appreciate that. I think I accidentally hung up on somebody, I think, from area code 8. Talk. This, the list of numbers jumps around, so unfortunately it moved yours. So you still have time to call back in. I think that was from area code 832. I want to say area code 832. So definitely area code 832. Give us a call back. We got a bunch of calls on here, but if I see you again, I'll see about hitting yours since I didn't mean to hang up on you. Caller from the 708, you're on live with the BlackChannel.net radio. Okay, caller from 708-829, you're on live with the Black Channel. You're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, if anybody sees caller from 708-829-7467, if they are in distress, please contact emergency services to see if they can help him, her, them out. Caller from 702 sounds like he's, sounds like he's trying to build a house. He took that we need to build things seriously. What do you say? Jason told me we need to start building, so I'm getting started today. Right this month, as a matter of fact, hand me that chainsaw. Okay. Call goes under the be careful what you wish for category. Caller from the 585, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 585 is playing on my phone, so caller from 585, you will not be allowed to listen back in for the remainder of the broadcast. You can't play on the phone. Caller from 301, you're on live with the Black Channel.
No.
Really? Caller from 301, last try. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello?
Yes, on live. Why are you playing on my phone?
Oh, my goodness. I apologize, Jason. I'll be calling you at a later time. I don't I have to get what I want to say together. But I'm just listening. I didn't even press 1. I don't know what's going on with the phone.
Yeah, if you don't press 1, it doesn't take you out of the queue. You have to press 1 again to be taken out.
Man, that's ridiculous. I apologize. I really apologize. I've been meaning to call you, but it's not the right time right now. That's all.
Well, I'll put you back on hold here, and that way you can just doing whatever you were doing. Caller from the 612, you're on live with Black Channel. Caller from 612, if you require assistance, let us know. Otherwise, we'll see if we can help you.
Hello?
Yes, caller from 612. Why are you playing on my phone?
I'm not playing. I followed the instructions of the blog talk.
Okay. Well, try not to put it down.
I honestly did. It's a...
Try not to walk too far away from it. I'll put you back on hold again.
Okay.
I say tomato. You say whatever. Caller from 682. If you're playing on my phone, I'm going to have to give out your numbers to see if we can assist you.
I'm just listening in. Thank you.
Okay. Because if it didn't happen again, I was going to see if I could get emergency services to assist you. And we all know that's very important. Caller from 585, you are not allowed. Therefore, you will have to go. I don't know. I'm probably going to wrap it up here in just a few moments because we're reaching the top of the 10 o'clock hour. And I've got other things to take care of here shortly, not to mention the least of which I need to be three men about trying to put together something documentary-wise. So hopefully they're not playing with us either. That would be important. Speaking of the documentary, by the way, the documentary is, the name of the documentary I've been working on is 7 a.m. You can go to the official 7 a.m. website, 7ammovie.com. That's 7ammovie.com. It's been a labor of love that I've been doing the work on. Really started planning it out about 5 years ago. I first started doing this broadcast. And I wanted to speak with the most influential and eminent minds about black finance that I could think of. And I said to myself, I had a wish list of people that I could speak to. Who would they be? And I spoke to them about all these subjects in depth, in the past, present, and the future. We speak to Shalimar Blakely, executive director of the Philadelphia, Jersey, Delaware Chamber of African-American Chamber of Commerce. We speak to Morris Levin with the Philadelphia Stars Negro Leagues Memorial. Lamar Johnson himself, the Prince of Pan-Africanism. We speak to Brett Pulley, the Dean of the Scripps School of Journalism at Hampton University and author of The Billion Dollar Bet, the story of the rise of BET. And we talk to Alayla Bundles. For those of you who do not know who Alayla Bundles is, she is a longtime producer at NBC. She is also the author of several books about Madam C.J. Walker, and that's not very surprising when you find out that Alayla Bundles is the great-great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker. That's right. We get you the information directly from the source. No one else is doing this. We also talk to the godfather of black economics, Dr. Claude Anderson himself. Yes, Mr. Powernomics is going to be part of 7 a.m., and we are going to get to talk to him more in depth in a way that absolutely nobody anywhere has spoken to him on. And if you want to hear what it's like to hear a live, well, to hear a one-on-one conversation between the black authority and the godfather of black economics, 7 a.m. is the only place you hear it. And we also speak to a real estate tycoon who really doesn't need any introduction, but he'll get it anyway. Don Peebles of the Peebles Corporation is going to be in our documentary. This is a man who has not millions, but billions of dollars, of real estate and property under his management across several states, Nevada, Florida, New York, the man, Washington, the man, big business. He finished dropping $160 million in downtown Manhattan to buy the original New York Life building directly from the source. You will not get it any better or any more straight than this. So you all know how I am when I talk to people. It is directly straight down the middle. I don't pull any punches. I ask the questions that you would be asking if you could speak to them directly. I demand the answers that you would be demanding if you could speak to them directly. And that's why the documentary had to be made by me, because it is the most important documentary of all time. And the reason that it's the most important documentary of all time is because this is the only documentary in history that will determine whether or not the first people on the planet are going to survive. There are a lot of documentaries that people are making out there, some that they're pretending to make, others that are actually being made. This is the only one that's actually being made that will determine whether or not black people survive. And I'm not overstating it. I am being very literal and very serious. Situation and talking about why black people are the poorest people in America and the poorest people in the world. We talk about everything except that. And the root of so many of our problems go back to our poverty. That's why. I'm going to see if I can take one more call here because people are playing on my line or whatever. I'm going to see if I can take a newer call and see if we can get something going there. Caller from the 562, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hi, Jason. This is Nene. I just called in to listen.
Hello, Nene. Let me go ahead and put you back on hold here then. Well, you just called in to just listen. I guess that's useful. Caller from 585, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Just listening.
Okay, well, we have a... I don't know why they're listening over the phone and not over the internet. I really don't, but I suppose there's a reason for that. Well, I guess I'm going to go ahead. We're reaching the top of the hour here, so I'll go ahead and wrap this up. I think we've had a pretty interesting and spirited discussion about this, and I'll be uploading it to YouTube shortly so that you'll be able to hear tonight's broadcast. If you do not teach your children how to be leaders, how to be producers, how to be builders, how to be providers, then understand something. When you are too old to be able to provide for yourself, your children will not be able to do it for you. Forget if they want to, they will not be able because you never equipped them with the tools, intellectual and economic, to be able to do that. And in the end, it was your children's throat that you wound up slitting by teaching them to be beggars and not kings. It was your own. Because you are one heart attack, one stroke, one diagnosis of cancer, or one diagnosis of MS away from being totally incapable of taking care of yourself, and it will be completely your children who will have to care for you. But they're not going to be able to do any of that if you made them struggle and scrap and scrape for existence because you felt you had better things to do than to build a life for them. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. We will be broadcasting again tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, same Black time, same Black channel. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, Black is the future, and the future, as always, is uncompromising.